thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We trust you'll stay with us. Trust that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting this gospel broadcast today, and we're trusting that your precious Holy Spirit will enable us to do thy will, and that our broadcast service will be a blessing to our congregation. We know that you have your eye upon each and every one. You see them, you see their need. And I know that you love them. I know that you care for them. And I trust that you'll make our broadcast a blessing and an encouragement to souls and help them in their needs. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm walking each day by the side of my Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Whatsoever He Says Unto You, Do It. And our text of Scripture, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him, or unto them, Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only, repeating verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." It may not always be easy to obey, but whatever the Lord tells us to do, we know that it is right and for our best, even if we do not understand, because we know God. Regardless of the cost, many times when we speak of cost, we think of money. In speaking of obeying Christ and the cost, it is not usually money that we speak of. We may have to give up certain relationships. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? James chapter 4 and verse 4. There have been some who had to give up family relations to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man come to me and hate, and of course that word hate there doesn't really mean what we usually think of as hate, it simply means love less. If any man come to me and love less his father and mother, my and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. In other words, we must love the Lord more than we love father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, yea, even our own life. We must love the Lord and put him first in our lives. So to follow Christ, to be a disciple of Christ, may indeed cost us something. And I'm not speaking of dollars and cents. Some may have to give up man-made religions. Yes, some may have to give up their false religion and their church, as it were. We are told in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Now notice the word buy there. So again, it costs you something. Yes, truth costs you something. But we are told in the Word of God, "Buy the truth and sell it not." In Luke chapter 14 and verse 28, Jesus gives us a parable about sitting down and counting the cost. After he finished the parable, he adds, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And that's verse 33 of Luke 14. Now, Jesus did not mean that you have to sell your house, or you have to sell your car, or you have to do a lot of things as far as giving up material things. We are to live a natural, normal life. What Jesus is telling us here is that we must put him above everything else. Some people make their house their idol, or their car their idol, or some husband or wife is their idol. Jesus Christ, again I emphasize, must be first. And if we are not willing to put him first, then we cannot be his disciple. "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Note, Jesus may have had those in mind who would be called to forsake all, to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus did give that commission to the church, and especially to the 12 at that particular time. And he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And for them to go into all the world, they had to forsake some things. And in some instances, they had to forsake their families. They had to leave their job, or they had to do this, or they had to do that. But again, whatsoever he says to you, do it. We will never make a mistake in following what the Lord instructs us to do. Now, Abraham was called to leave his country and go into a place that he did not know of. When he left, he didn't know just where he was going, but he had faith and confidence in God, and he went wherever the Lord led him. And I suppose one of the greatest sacrifices of all was whenever God called Abraham to consecrate his son Isaac. He had waited for many, many years before Isaac was born. In fact, Abraham was approximately 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. And here a few years later, God calls upon Abraham to offer his son a sacrifice. But Abraham knew God, and he was a friend of God, and he was willing to follow God's instructions. Of course, God did not allow him to go through actually slaying his son, but he was going to do so, and by that, he proved to God that he loved God more even than his own precious son, which was doubtless the most dear to him of anyone. Now, regardless of how unreasonable it may seem, some may consider the cost unreasonable, but God does not make unreasonable requests. I repeat, God does not make unreasonable requests. Whatever God requires, it is reasonable. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God's service, regardless of what it is, regardless of what he requires, regardless of what he asks of us, God's service is a reasonable service, because God is a reasonable God. Now, Naaman thought what Elisha told him to do was to be healed was unreasonable. Naaman was a Syrian general, and he had leprosy, and they had carried away an Israelitess maid, and she told them that if Naaman would go to the prophet in Israel, that he would be healed. And so they took a group and went on the journey. And whenever they got to Elisha's house, he told him to go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And Naaman was all upset about that and talked about the clean waters they had in the rivers back in Syria, there in Damascus. But one of his servants, or one of his fellow soldiers, took it upon him to tell Naaman, now, listen, if Elisha would have required some big thing of you, you would have done it. Now you can either accept what he tells you to do, or you can go home still a leper. And so Naaman decided to obey Elisha. And he went to the Jordan River, and he dipped 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. Nothing happened. But he dipped the 7th time, and he came up whole. Yes, obey him, whatever he requires, whatever he says do, do it. The men of Israel may have thought it unreasonable when Joshua told them to march around Jericho 1 time for 6 days, and on the 7th day, march around 7 times. Jericho was a city that had a wall around it. And what good's it going to do for us to walk around 1 time for 6 days and then 7 times on the 7th day? What good's that going to do? Then on the 7th day, they were to shout, and the ram's horns was to be blown. And whenever they obeyed, whenever they did what God told them to do, the wall came tumbling down. Yes, I believe that, because I read it in the Word, and the Word of God is true. God wants things done His way. Well, why not? Because God is always right. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we read in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9. God is always right. God's way is not impossible. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5 and 3. By doing things God's way, obedience is learned. Christ learned obedience through the things He suffered, according to Hebrews 8 and 5 and 8. Noah was told to build an ark. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. And he and his family were saved while the antediluvian world perished in the flood. It is not ours to question God. It is ours to obey. Peter asked Jesus one time after the resurrection. Jesus told Peter to feed the flock or feed his sheep. And he asked, what's this fellow going to do? What's John going to do? And after he asked that question, Jesus told him, in effect, that's none of your business. You just follow me and do what I tell you to do. John 21 and verse 22. God has a purpose. God has a purpose in all that He does. God also has a purpose for mankind. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Notice that, for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6 and 8. Do what He says to do. In John 6, we read of Jesus spitting on the ground and making clay, then anointed a man who had been born blind. And He told him, after He had anointed his eyes, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man did what Jesus said. He didn't even know who Jesus was, but he did what he was told. And the man went and washed his eyes in the pool, and he came seeing. In Luke 17, we read of 10 lepers who called to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And He told them to go show themselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Yes, all 10 of them. They were not cleansed until they turned and started on their journey obeying the Lord. And when they did that, all 10 of them were healed. In John 11, we read of how Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and told them to take away the stone. Well, Master, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. Take away the stone. And so they took away the stone. And then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And there he was, stood at the door of the tomb. After the resurrection, Peter and others went fishing. And they fished all night and caught nothing. When morning came, Jesus was standing on the seashore, and He said unto them, have you caught anything? And they said, no. And Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the right side. Well, they doubtless had already fished all around them, and they had caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, we will do what you said. And they drew out a multitude of fishes. Why? Because they did what the Lord Jesus told them to do. Isaiah tells us, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be destroyed with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing this broadcast with the precious people today. We trust that the Holy Spirit has been able to use it to make it a blessing. And we trust that every heart will receive the word that they have heard. Now, Father, we're asking you to bless each one in our congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. Also, we have an archive of our broadcasts, and you may listen to some that you have missed or one that you might want to hear over again. And also, you can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6. Our Wednesday evening service at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. And again, we trust our broadcasts have been a blessing to you. And we invite you to tune in this station next week at the same time when again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide is our sincere prayer.